I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
See those go through about seven.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
Hour number three underway here. It's been a BYU football loaded show. We're all stoked out of our minds for football season, which begins in 4 weeks from today. We'll carry that game right here on KSL News Radio. Pregame will begin at noon. We'll have extended pregame coverage 10 a.m. on game day to just get you ready. So wake up. I still like College game day. I know that you're wavering a little bit, but I'm still going to put on College game day. We are coming to your city.
Big noon kickoff for me.
I know.
Fox.
7 a.m. I've gained a new appreciation to the new time, being a parent, too. Because before, I like getting up for the 8 a.m.s, and when they went to 7 was just not happening. Like, no way. And now that I'm up before 7 every morning, I'm like, yes, 7 a.m., turn it on, live TV, new content. So as soon as game day's over, turn on KSL News Radio, and we'll get you primed for BYU in South Florida. We asked this question before the break, and I'll give you my answer in a moment. But first, we did get a text, and keep letting us know. Text us 57500. Here's the text we just got. And the question is, take Jaren Hall off the table because I think it's unanimous. He's the answer.
Yes.
Who is the most irreplaceable player for BYU football outside of Jaren Hall? You said Tyler Batty, defensive end. And we got this text from 4779. Hello from Tennessee. And I love hearing from Tennessee today because this morning I watched every Saturday I've been watching a new college football tradition to get me stoked for the year. Today I watched Rocky Top.
Oh, cool.
Good old Rocky Top. Woo! So hello from Tennessee. Chris Brooks. I don't think there's a feature back on the roster besides him. He goes down. Could be a long season for getting consistent yards on the ground.
That's fair.
I disagree. Man or woman from Tennessee? Because I really think Jason McChesney can produce. And I also think the offensive line is so good that really any of those three, I think, could have a big year. Now, I think Chris Brooks is the best of them, and I think he deserves to be RB1. But if he goes down, I do believe that Jackson McChesney could step in and fill that role.
Yeah, I think he's irreplaceable from the standpoint, if you're kind of comparing it to Tyson Williams, where Tyson Williams goes down, and you know that 2019 team, imagine what they could have been that year had Tyson played the whole year.
They don't lose to Toledo with Tyson.
Yeah, they don't probably lose to South Florida either. So I get it from that standpoint, but I think you're right, though, that Jax McChesney, if given more opportunity, and I know Jackson's dealt with some injuries during his BYU career that's limited some of his availability, but I think that he's a guy that, given the volume of carries maybe needed to show that he could be a number one guy, I think he would thrive. Now, I don't think he would be, you know, because I think after this year, Chris Brooks, when BYU goes to the Big 12, think BYU is always going to dip into the portal when it comes to running backs. I think that's kind of now the position where they're going to try to find some top one-year rental guy to maybe be the feature back, or, you know, at a minimum, push the existing guys in the room. And so far, you know, Chris Brooks stepped in and was immediately the number one guy. So, but I think McChesney is just someone that's been a little bit slept on, and I think that if given an opportunity, he would thrive, in my opinion.
57500, text us your thoughts on who is the most irreplaceable player on BYU's football team. For me, this might come as a surprise.
Okay.
For me, it's Puka Nacua, actually.
Interesting.
I thought I would surprise you with that one. And that's no slight on any of the other receivers, because I think Gunnar Romney is excellent. And I think we're sleeping on Gunnar Romney a little bit. I think he's a well-rounded receiver. I think he's going to impress. But there's nobody on the team that can do what Puka Nacua can do. I just think he is unique. And I like the next crop of wide receivers. I think you're going to be surprised by Cody Epps, Chase Roberts. I think Keanu Hill is going to have a bigger role. Even after that, I think there's some guys. But Puka Nacua just does not come around very often to BYU. I mean, I think on one hand, you can name the Puka Nacuas of yesteryear. Maybe you put a Todd Watkins into that group. You definitely put Austin Culley into that group. But it is a short list of just dynamic wide receivers. That doesn't mean Mitch Matthews and Cody Hoffman weren't great wide receivers. Mm-hmm. They were, but they're not to the level of Austin Culley or Puka Nacua or Todd Watkins. They're just next level athletically. And so I think it would be hard to replace that, because to me, Puka is going to demand some double teams, I think. I think that there's going to be some safety help over the top. And to me, that just opens up everything in the passing game. That means Dallin Holker is one-on-one. That means Gunnar Romney is going to be one-on-one a lot. And I think that's why one of the reasons I think Gunnar's primed for a big year is he's going to be the beneficiary of being opposite of Puka Nacua. And so if you take Puka out of it, you don't shade anyone to his side. That makes it more difficult for Gunnar, for Dallin. I don't think that affects the running game much. But Puka's a good running, run-blocking wide receiver, too. So Puka Nacua is the guy for me.
I like that pick. You know, I think out of all the guys in this roster, Jaren Hall, of course, he's someone that I think could be one of the best quarterbacks in college football this year. I do believe that. Puka Nacua might be the next one in line that you could say he could be the best wide receiver in college football this year. He could be that. Puka Nacua is legit. I mean, to me, in terms of talent, you kind of touched on this, but, you know, Dax Milne was historic in his one season in 2020, similar type of production to that of an Austin Culley. But I think as an overall talent, I think Austin Culley is the best receiver to ever come through BYU. I think Puka Nacua could be just as good as an Austin Culley. What we saw from Austin Culley back in 2008, I think Puka Nacua could have that type of production. It's just a little bit different because there's so many options to turn to. And like you said, he could get double teams, but there's going to be a lot of opposing scouting reports are going to zero in on Puka Nacua. He is a next level talent. And I remember even last year too, when BYU was getting ready for Arizona, Jed Fish talked about going into week one about, he even mentioned Puka Nacua, like they have to keep an eye out for Puka Nacua. That was, there was some familiarity there because he came from the Pac-12, Puka did. And he didn't even play in that BYU-Arizona game. But there's just a lot of respect for Puka. He's a top-level talent, and I think he's a guy that's an NFL player next season. So, yeah, I like that pick. I think when you break it down that way, because who is that next guy that commands the sort of attention that Puka does in that receiver room? There's a lot of talented guys, but not to the level of Puka.
Here's another text, 3606, and you can text us at 57500. Who is irreplaceable on this BYU roster right now? We've got Chris Brooks from the texter from Tennessee. I've got Puka. You've got Tyler Batty. Texter 3606 says Connor Pay, who has experience with snaps at center behind him. Connor Pay is underrated, I think. He has been solid at center in spot duty for James Empey. I'm looking forward to a full year of Connor Pay. However, behind him, I think you are comfortable with Joe Tukuwafu.
Yes. And then after him, it's Peter Falanico, the freshman, who apparently has the biggest foot on the team. He's a size 18.
Oh, man.
He's 17 years old.
You'd probably move someone over there before him, don't you think? If it got to that.
If Connor Pay went down, yeah. Tukuwafu, though, I think would be fine.
Tukuwafu, yeah, because Tukuwafu is there a little bit in 2020, I think, after James Empey had some injuries as well.
Yeah, Tukuwafu was the one ahead of Connor Pay at the Boca Raton Bowl, and then Tukuwafu goes down, and then Pay steps in and had his breakout performance.
Here's another thought. This just came to my mind. I don't think he's the most irreplaceable, but he is probably more valuable than you or me or anyone is giving him credit for. Could you throw Ryan Rico into the mix?
Ooh, it's a good pick.
I just think this guy is so valuable from a field position game.
I just don't think we're going to see him, though.
I know. That's that's the thing. If they're going to be better than they were last year,
and that's a good thing.
Oh, not for him. He needs to get those punts. We want that guy drafted. But I agree. I don't know how often we'll see him because I think the offense will be moving the chains, and hopefully they're getting to the field goal range. The reason I bring his name up and not Jake Oldroyd's is if Justin Smith, because he wasn't on the roster on day one.
Yeah.
If he's back on the roster, I feel okay with him as a backup, don't you?
Yeah, and Justin Smith has stepped in, I mean, against Arizona last year. I mean, he stepped in, made some kicks. We did see him at practice off to the sideline. He was near, for people that have been to the practice fields, those white bars over to the, what is it, the west side, that rope?
Yes.
He was over by there. But, yeah, I think that Rico, he's a guy, though, when if you turn to him and you're deep in your own territory, he can flip the field. And it's such a luxury for BYU to have that guy. He averaged 48.5 yards per punt last year. That's the best per punt average since Lee Johnson, since Thunderfoot back in the 80s. And Lee Johnson went on to have 10-plus years. I think it was, 15 years in the NFL? Lee Johnson was an amazing punter during his time at BYU. So, yeah, Rico is outstanding. I think with Oldroyd, too, he's someone that, as we talked with Ed Lamb about, it's kind of touch and go with his back. There might be some games where it's not feeling good, and they have to turn to Justin Smith. I'm kind of mentally kind of banking on that a bit, just because that lower back injury has caused some fits for Oldroyd. But Rico, when they turn to him, it's not often that guy shanks one. He is darn near automatic. He's an outstanding punter.
He didn't qualify last year because there weren't enough punts, but that number would have had him fifth in the country in average punt. All right, we'll take the break on the other side. Let's get to Jaren Hall. He spoke with the media after day one. We'll play some of his cuts from the first day of fall camp down in Provo, Utah.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.